Yeah.
3 o'clock round. You know, my dogs just stopped in. Sophie and Fredo, they're like, why are you yelling? And I said, the Dodgers won the World Series, you two little dum-dums. We are the champs. It's finally happened. Hey, you know, there's one thing I wanted to do before we get to phone calls. Jorge, just follow me here. Go to Sound and Clayton Kershaw. I want to get Clayton Kershaw, who finally, nobody can ever say Clayton Kershaw hasn't won a ring. He won one last night. And by the way, with a very good series, he won two games in that series, two really strong performances. Here is his reaction to winning the World Series.
I've been saying, you know, World Series champs in my head over and over again just to see if it'll sink in. And I can't put it into words yet. I'm just so very thankful to be a part of this group of guys, and so very thankful that we get to be on the team that is bringing back a World Series to the Dodger fans after 32 years. And they've waited a long time, and to get to do that, to get to be on the team that did that in LA, you couldn't ask for anything more. It's incredible.
So Kershaw talked last night, skip one there, talked last night about his legacy.
Those are all bad questions. I don't care about any of that, man. We won the World Series. I don't care about legacy. I don't care about what happened last year. I don't care about what people think of me. I don't care at all, man. We won the World Series. The 2020 Dodgers won the World Series. Like, who cares about all that other stuff? To be a part of that team, all that other stuff is just pointless. It doesn't matter. We won. It's great.
Here is a follow-up to that. Do past failures make this sweeter?
Once again, man, all those other years don't matter. It doesn't matter who wins, you know, like all those other years don't make this any sweeter, you know, like winning the World Series, if you're in the playoffs for the first year, is just as sweet. So like, this is what we've worked for our whole lives. Like this is every single one of those guys that has worked their whole lives to be a part of a World Series championship team, myself included. So nobody, those other years are done with. Somebody won the World Series and it wasn't us. And now we are the ones that won the World Series. And that, I can't get over saying that. It's just amazing.
There is Clayton Kershaw, who finally, John, I think, honestly, Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher I have seen. Yeah, I'd say he's the best pitcher I've seen in my lifetime. Certainly top three. And to finally see him win that championship is so, so special and so cool. Because, again, like a lot of these guys, he has been a great Dodger and will continue to be a great Dodger. And I'm happy for him that he was able to be so successful in this postseason series.
All right, let's let you react to everything we've been talking about Kershaw, about Blake Snell being pulled, about Justin Turner after the game, about where do the Dodgers go from here. Zachary in Roland Heights. Hey, Zachary, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
good,
great,
Zachary.
Man.
How are you?
Great, man. Yeah, I just witnessed, you know, the first Dodger championship time. You know, I was born in 92, so I didn't get to see the 88. But this was great. Great for L.A. I just cannot believe we did it. We did it. I'm just what Mace was just talking about with Kersh. Couldn't be happier for him. So, oh, I'm just still shocked about it. couldn't sleep about, you know, I just have passion for the Dodgers, just like
yeah.
Zachary, how old of a man are you?
I am 28.
All right, so this is the first championship for the Dodgers in your lifetime. Get used to it, my friend. They are favored to win it again next year. So, thank you for calling in.
Thanks,
all right, man.
Thank
appreciate
you guys, and thank you for getting us through all the Lakers games and everything. You guys have been awesome. I listen to you guys every day.
All right, thanks,
you,
Zachary.
Appreciate
you calling in. Here's Jason in Orange. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Mace, Ireland?
Great, Jason.
Jason, it is going
awesome
excellent.
Right on, man. Hey, man, you know, I'm super excited, super happy, but I'm really sad at the same time. My dad and I used to go to games together all the time. He passed away back in, like, 2011. Mm. And we were there for Gagne. We were there for Manny Wood. We were there for Finley and, you know, the NLCS game. Ireland, we actually bumped into you at the Coliseum game, dude, with my son, who's 13 now.
Excellent.
He was 3 at the time. You know, and it's just so sad that he's not here with me right now.
Yeah.
Celebrating this, you know.
Well, you know, Jason, the point you're making is baseball is the one sport that is passed on through generations. You know, most everybody went to games with their dad like you did, and then you mentioned you're going to games with your son now. It's the one sport that you kind of pass on to your family. So whenever you win a championship like this, it always makes everybody think of the people that you took them to their first games. So what you're going through is totally normal.
Yeah, man, and it's just, I didn't cry last night, but I've been crying all day today thinking about it, and I just needed to reach out to you guys.
Well, I appreciate you picking up the phone, man, and congratulations. I'm glad it makes you think, you know, finally about your dad. That's cool.
Yeah, your dad's up there looking down, man, and he's happy too.
Here is Noah in West Covina. Hey, Noah, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I just want to say really quickly, the Blake Snell thing, that's a joke. The analytics and Moneyball, that's just a fancy way of saying statistics. Okay, statistics are statistics. 80 pitches, 3 times around the batting order, and you're asking for trouble, okay? That's the same thing with Kershaw. 80 pitches, 3 times around the batting order. If it's not the regular season, then okay, whatever. But if it's the playoffs, you know, that's, you know, even with Kershaw. So I don't buy that. But other than that, I'd go back all the way since the Dodgers first beat the Yankees, and I'm so happy . So that's what I want to say. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Okay, cool, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, but that swings the other way too.
Yeah.
If you're gonna say, look, this is what we did all year. These are the statistics we relied on. We wanted to tip the percentages in our favor that if we take Blake Snell out before he goes through the third time in the order, we have a better chance to win. You can make that case. You could present that numerically and tell me, hey, this over the course of a season gives us the best chance to win. The problem is it doesn't consider that one time where Blake Snell is on fire and
right.
He's getting everybody out. It's, you know, like my handicap in golf is I'm like a 9. All right. But every once in a while I go really low. Every once in a while I go really high. If I'm going really low, you're not betting against me at that point. And Blake Snell was going really low.
Yeah, that was a gut call, should have stayed in the game, but I think it was driven from the front office. I think they decided all along he will see the lineup twice, and that is it. And by the way, analytics is not necessarily a boogeyman. It's you know what? Those teams are the two most analytically driven teams in baseball.
To your point, when the Dodgers took Kershaw out in the fifth inning, 2 games before, it might have been 1 game before, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked perfectly. And we all said, well, don't take Kershaw out. He's rolling. Matter of fact, that was the inning where, remember, he got 2 outs on 2 pitches? And
right.
We said to Dave Roberts, what are you doing? Why are you taking him out? He's got 2 outs on 2 pitches. You could have him for the 7th if you wanted him. And he said, nope, not let him go 3 times through the order. And it worked. You know, for Blake Snell, it didn't work. I think the Rays are guilty, whoever that decision came from, whether it was Kevin Cash, or I kind of agree with you, I think it was probably a joint decision with the front office, that he wasn't going to go, no matter what, he wasn't going to go.
By the way,
three
I'll
times.
Go further, John. I think it. I don't even. I think that just was a front office decision.
Okay.
Blake Snell only
so
sees the lineup.
So regardless of who made it, like, we're not letting him go 3 times through. That's what got us here. We're pulling the plug when Mookie Betts comes up for the 3rd time. They weren't looking at what their eyes were telling them.
Right.
The Dodgers lineup was 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts against Snell in spots 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
And so that's that. Trust me, I think it was Dan Shulman, we had him on earlier, who said the second they took Snell out of the game, Mookie Betts lit up.
Yeah.
He goes, oh my God, they took him out. And he got all this confidence and just and roped a double down the line as soon as the second guy came in.
Yeah, because Blake Snell was absolutely dealing, and this is a time when your eyes have got to trump your numbers. Your eyes need to trump your numbers sometimes, and that was the case last night.
And by the way, I don't think anyone
would have criticized them if Betts would have hit a home run. If Betts would have come up and homered, then you can go to and take Snell out and say, okay, we pushed it a little. It's still a very close game. We'll take Snell out. He's been great, but statistics tell us. But to pull him before you even get a chance to face a guy who was 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts against you, that's a mistake.
Well, he immediately gave up a double to Mookie. Nick Anderson immediately gave up a double to Mookie Betts.
And then the next guy, he threw a pitch in the dirt, and it was off and running.
Yeah, exactly. All right, more of your calls coming up. Jerry Hairston Jr. is coming up at the bottom of the hour, 3:30. I'm not supposed to say bottom of the hour. At 3:30, we've got Jerry Hairston Jr., Jay Hair, who you know from Sportsnet LA, and the Dodgers pre- and post-game shows. It is just such a mind-boggling, thrilling day in the history of Los Angeles. After the last couple of years, even last night, John, so there, I'm at the game, and it's close, right? They led 1-0 for a long time. And I was like, oh, God. And then we're going to go to a game 7. God. I was so nervous and so worked up and so on edge about the possibility of going to a game 7. I almost expected something to go wrong. But last night, it all went perfectly. And we win it all. We win the first world championship for the Dodgers in 32 years.
And the second title this month in LA.
That's right. City of Champions. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Join the party. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. John, where was I last night?
You were in Arlington.
And what did I bring back?
What did you bring back? Well, I hope you didn't travel with weed.
No, there was no, there is no curse.
Did you bring me back a hat, Mason?
The curse is dead.
You brought back the trophy.
Yeah, I brought back the championship.
No,
exactly.
Yeah, you didn't bring it back, but the Dodgers brought it back.
But you agree now there is no curse. There's no curse anymore.
I've told you before, I never thought there was a curse.
I know, but a lot of people believe in it. I think they're idiots.
Yeah. No, this
wait a minute. Speaking of the trophy, Mace, did you guys see the tweet that Max Muncy sent out?
No.
He posted a picture of himself holding the trophy, and his caption was, "What a nice piece of metal."
In honor of Rob Manfred.
Yep.
Boy, could you guys believe the way Rob – I mean, commissioners normally get booed, but Rob Mace, you were there. That was just blatant one-sided booing.
And he was surprised, too. Like, he was surprised he was being booed, and it was like, hello, everybody can't stand you.
Well, think about it. Dodger fans look at it and say, hey, he did nothing about the Astros cheating in 2017. He's not allowed to be part of our party in 2020.
Well, and there also seemed to be something wrong with him last night, if you ask me. I don't know.
He was a little loopy, wasn't he?
People on Twitter were speculating he was drunk.
No, I think it's possible that he had – I noticed he had an earpiece in. Possible that he didn't have mix minus, which in TV means he was hearing himself 3 seconds after he talked. And
I'm not buying it.
You just think he was on something?
He couldn't – because he wasn't – it's not like he was,
the commissioner
like,
delaying. Of baseball. What would
it's,
he be on?
No, it's like he – it wasn't like he was delaying his words coming out. He was slurring his speech. He was like, Los Angeles.
I think he had been shotgunning beers.
That's what I think. We thought we were going 7 games. He wasn't expecting to be on TV. He was partying, having fun.
By the way, Trevor – but you guys know Trevor Bauer. We love Trevor Bauer. He's now a free agent, probably the number one starting pitching free agent in the market. He sent out a tweet last night. Agree or disagree with pulling Blake Snell? Over 135,000 people voted.
Wow.
How do you think it came out?
Disagree.
By like what percent?
90% disagree.
What do you think, Lindsay?
I would say 85%.
94% disagree. 94. Only 6% with the Rays.
Those are the guys with the pocket protectors.
Yeah.
the numbers nerds
who work for Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a great night.
All right,
what a
hey,
great time in Los Angeles.
Let's squeeze a couple more calls before we get Jay Harris.
Okay,
here.
Cool.
Here's Mario in Upland. Hey, Mario, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Fellas, what's going on?
Everything is great, Mario.
Yeah, two titles in 3 weeks. I can live with that.
Amen.
Listen, I joined a club that you guys unfortunately joined. I joined last year. I lost my dad, and he was a huge Dodger fan. A few months later, I lost my father-in-law. Huge wow. Dodger fan. I'm not that big of a baseball fan, but, you know, in their last few months, you know, I watched the baseball playoffs with them. They're, I'm sure they're ecstatic looking down. I know there's 100 stories like that of Dodger fans just waiting 3 decades.
Yeah.
I have so many diehard Dodger fans that are just on cloud nine today, and I'm just so happy for them, happy for Kershaw, happy for the city of L.A.
Yeah.
We need this with what's going on in 2020 with COVID and the election. It's just nice to celebrate two titles. Lakers with 17, Dodgers with 7, ends up with 24.
There you go,
24.
Mario.
There you go. The numerology again. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. Dave Singer texted me while I was at the game last night, and his dad just passed away. Bob Singer was like one of the biggest Dodger fans.
Yeah, biggest Dodger fan there was.
Listened to every single game. Always had an earpiece in, listened to the game, even if you were having a conversation with him. God bless him. I'm sure he was looking down and enjoyed this.
Formal wear for Bob Singer was his Dodger hat and his blue Dodger pitcher's jacket.
He wore that all the time.
Yeah, it was great.
All the time. All right.
Here's Chris in L.A. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys, how's it going? How are you?
Chris, best day ever, Chris.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear you guys on the actual telephone, not the radio for once.
Amen.
I'm just kidding. But, hey, big ups to L.A. 2020 was their year, and I'm sure they got more years with these two rosters from L.A. Lakers to the L.A. Dodgers. It's just going to be going up from here on out. But I wanted to talk about the fans that are out there that are, like, I have my wife's grandparents who are 95 years old, and they've been Dodger fans since they came from Nicaragua when the Dodgers came from Brooklyn. And both of them still to this day listen to the radio. They take score even, you know. It's amazing for a parent, like, for those kind of folks that are just for so long been waiting for this championship. So,
yep.
Big ups to the Dodgers. But can I touch on the Turner thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, please.
Okay, Turner is a hungry, hungry, hungry animal waiting for the championship, waiting for everything. I coach Little League Baseball. You win a championship there, your limit is your vision is to win the World Series. And I felt like you put that in front of that animal and you take it away, I mean, shoot, ain't you going to find any way to get out of that one?
Well, that's why I think Major League Baseball should have kept him off the field.
Yeah, John wants him handcuffed.
The beginning of the game. When it came up inconclusive is when they should have held him up. That's where they should have.
They have protocols. And today Major League Baseball threw Turner under the bus and said we removed him and he violated protocols and went back out there on his own. And when security tried to tell him to get off the field, he refused. Well, the second that Turner got that positive test, I don't know why he was allowed to stay in the building. I mean, I would have gotten him out of the building, and they didn't do it. So I think Justin has to take some responsibility for it. I think the Dodgers have to take some. But Major League Baseball should have controlled this. They were the ones running the show, and they didn't do it. And I think to throw him under the bus today and say it was all Turner's fault kind of passes the buck a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think baseball should have handled this differently.
Yeah, this conversation's killing my buzz. But Jay Harris coming up next, Jerry Hairston Jr., who has been covering, was a Dodger, has been covering this team for the last 5 or 6 years now with Sportsnet LA. Jay Hair is going to join us next as we continue to celebrate the Dodgers winning the World Series championship last night in Arlington, Mesa, in Ireland. 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN. We have brought you every single game of the World Series courtesy of ESPN, and last night was the culmination. The Dodgers are the World Series champions. We have waited for this, and it's finally here. In an unbelievable way, we have won. The Lakers have won the NBA title, and the Dodgers have won the World Series championship, and it's basically 3 weeks apart. It has been 3 weeks that we have had two championships happen for this championship city.
And right now, Jerry Hairston, who played for the Dodgers, now you can see him on Sportsnet LA covering the Dodgers on TV with that great crew with John Hartung and the gang, is nice enough to join us. Jay Hare, how you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling unbelievable. I am so happy for the city of Los Angeles, all the Dodger fans that have waited 32 long years, to celebrate being champions. You know, I love and respect the 88 team, but the 88 players are saying, hey, it's time for the next generation to win a championship, and I'm so proud of these guys. Happy for Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner. They earned this title and well-deserved.
You know, I want to turn right away to Dave Roberts, who, you know, a lot of people have been critical of Dave Roberts. If you look at Twitter, it's not a friendly place. A lot of people question Dave Roberts over the last few years. Talk about the job that he has done and the fact that he last night pushed every single right button all the way to Urias.
Yeah, he has done an incredible job. You know, the one thing I've always admired about Dave Roberts is the communication he has with his players. The players love playing for him for a reason. He's always honest with them. He always makes sure that they're always prepared. And, you know, when he was a young manager, I don't care who you are, you're going to make some decisions where you know it's right, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. That's the game of baseball. But, you know, you talk about analytics. Yes, all analytics is information. He went against analytics last night, bringing in Julio Urias, who just started a few days prior, and he's coming out of the bullpen, and he saw what he was doing, how he was handling the Rays hitters, and he left them in there. You know, and that's the one thing managers need to do, you know, have your information, but also watch the game. The other team will let you know what's going on as well. There are 28 other heartbeats out there that you're going against, and sometimes those analytics aren't going to work that day, and Dave Roberts definitely has a full grasp on that.
Jerry, you won a World Series title in 2009 with the Yankees. For people who don't know, Jay Hare played 16 seasons for 9 different teams. And just to show you how hard it is, Jerry, that was your only one. We had one of your teammates, Mark Teixeira, on the show earlier. But take us to that moment. When you win it, knowing how hard it is to win one of these things, what's going through your head?
Well, did Mark tell you guys that I carried that team?
No, he did not mention that, but I have no question that you did, Jay Hare.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, you know, you mentioned playing 16 years. You know, I've gotten a chance to play with great teammates over the years, and Ken Griffey Jr. comes to mind, who's a Hall of Famer in my eyes, the greatest baseball player that has ever lived. He never got an opportunity to win a World Series. That's how hard it is. Barry Bonds never won a World Series. So many great players in this game have never won a World Series, so that's how difficult it is. And, you know, my father played this game. My grandfather, my brother Scott played this game. They didn't win a World Series. So I was on the field. I was playing left field. When Mariano Rivera came out of that bullpen, we're up 4 runs, and I knew that the Phillies weren't going to score 4 runs on Mo. He was so dominant. And I started to think about my family. I started to think about my mom, you know, the time when she used to take me to Little League. My dad throwing BP to me in the backyard. And that's what these players are thinking when they clinch and they started realizing, hey, we are World Series champions. Not just me, but my whole family who has sacrificed. I thought, you know what I thought of too? Ellen Kershaw, Clayton yep. Kershaw's wife. You know, what she has done with her family, with Clayton Kershaw, they have gone through this together, the ups and the downs. They've done tremendous work in the L.A. community. In Africa, helping underprivileged kids get hospitals and schools, what they've done in Texas. And if there was ever a family that has worked hard together and that that deserves this type of moment in time, it's the Kershaws. And I'm so happy for Clayton. We still text from time to time. We text this morning. And I'm so proud of him. He's such an incredible person. And for him to go out there and flat out deal in the World Series, do his thing, And now he's a World Series champion. Nobody can take that away from him. He has shut up the naysayers, and I'm so happy that he has.
Jerry Hairston Jr. is with us from Sportsnet LA, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Julio Urias closes out both Game 7 of the NLCS and Game 6 of the World Series. Damn, how good is this guy going to be?
He's already good. You know, it's amazing the our young guys have grown up so fast. People forget, you know, they think Julio is 30 years old. He's young. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't even entered his prime yet. That's how good he is. He came up to the big leagues at 19 years of age, and he went through major surgery, and now he's come back, and he's really come back with a vengeance. He always had that it factor, and the adjustments he made this season. You know, he went away from that windup. Now he's just strictly out of the stretch where he can have his mechanics. And now that he's got his mechanics with that want-to, that it factor, you know, he's going to be a force to be working with for years to come. You know, it's amazing. When you become a champion, that adds a feather in your cap. And you know, hey, I've been through the fire, and I've competed at the highest level and won. So guys like Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Julio Urias, Victor Gonzalez, Walker Buehler, these guys are going to continue to grow and get better and know that, you know what, if I continue to put the work in, I could be in this position once again in the very near future.
We're talking to Jerry Hairston, former Dodger, current member of the Sportsnet LA staff, who does such a good job covering the team from start to finish. JR, we really haven't talked about this yet today, but the Dodgers now have to make some decisions. Pedro Baez, Kike Hernandez, Jake McGee, Jock Peterson, Justin Turner, Blake Treinen, and Alex Wood are all free agents. If you're Andrew Friedman in the Dodgers, is there one or two of those guys that you would prioritize trying to get back?
The great thing about being an analyst, guys, I don't have to worry about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are the decisions that Andrew Friedman and his staff have to, you know, sit back after all, you know, the weeks we have ahead to celebrate. Those are the decisions they're going to have to make. You know, they got to look at the players they have coming through the farm system, and then look as far as the payroll, how much they're willing to spend, because Jock Peterson is going to command a lot of money in the market, and rightfully so.
Yeah, he deserves
Hernandez
it.
Hernandez is going to command a lot of money, and rightfully so. You know, I want these guys to have long careers. Like you mentioned, I played for 9 different teams, and there are teams I would have loved to have stayed on, but the other team was willing to pay me more. So, you know, those guys have to make decisions, too, for themselves and their families. In a perfect world, I want everybody back. That way, everybody could try to run the table once again.
Listen, Jay Hare, we appreciate your time. You know, I spent a lot of time watching Dodgers baseball, so I see you guys before and after games, you and Ned and John Hartung and Nomar and the whole crew over there is fantastic. So congratulations to you guys on the success of this year, too. We appreciate all the hard work. You, my friend, are one of the most entertaining guys on television.
Well, you know what? It's really not work, guys. Seriously. What we do is really not work. We are so fortunate to watch this Dodger team. And to me, I feel like I was watching my younger brothers, man, win a championship. Guys like Clayton, JT, Kike, all of those guys. I am so proud and happy for those guys. And I would be remiss to not also thank the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, Kevin Cash, for him to take out Blake Snell, who was flat out diddling last night. Like, I thought he was going to run into a complete game. That's how dominant he was last night. And Kevin Cash, you know what? He knows better. You know, he's a guy who has played this game, and I'm not going to be easy on him because he's played this game. And what he did last night was a travesty. And he's fortunate that he manages the Rays, because if he was the manager of the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees or the Dodgers or a big market team, he wouldn't have a job right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he wouldn't have a job right now.
Well, listen, Jay Hare, we appreciate you coming on. Really exciting day in Los Angeles. Thanks a lot for coming on for the party, man.
Anytime. Everybody celebrate responsibly, but celebrate.
Yes.
All right, man.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jerry Hairston Jr. from Sportsnet LA. Game of Games is coming up next for you. Juego de Juegos, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Must win for you, Mace. This
is
a must
win.
I can take it if I win.
The score in October, Ireland 9, Mason 6, Lindsay 4 and Jorge 4 in the month of October. So that means today is good for 2 points.
Yeah, so if you win, you're still alive. If I win, it's over. And if anybody else wins, then, you have to win.
I have to win or else. Yeah, must win. It's a must win.
Well, you could, I mean, if Jorge wins today, then this could also result in, he could still win today, he could win tomorrow, and he could win Friday.
Correct. Jorge has a chance.
So Jorge has to run the table.
Yeah.
So if
how you feeling, George? How you feeling?
Well, let's do it. Let's see what happens.
Lindsay? What is the game today?
So, well, since Mace is off on Friday, I have offered that if Mace wins today and cuts it within one of you, John, then I will create the game tomorrow as well.
Got it.
And you guys can have a showdown.
What is the game today?
So I'm really excited. We're going to go back in time, back to 1988.
Okay.
Oh, we're
gonna last time the Lakers and the Dodgers both won the title in the same year.
Yep, and we're going to do a version of which cost more.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you two items and what the average cost of that item was in 1988.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you two for each one, and you're going to tell me which one cost more.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, first one here. A 35-inch TV or a personal computer? John.
Computer.
All right, Mace.
I'm going to also say computer.
And Jorge?
Yeah, computer.
Well, you guys are all wrong because a personal computer in 1988 cost $1,400 on average, while a 35-inch TV was about $3,000.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
A 35-inch TV for that amount of money? That's crazy.
You can get one now for $300.
Exactly.
Well, you could get one for $100.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah,
all right. Number two, a pair of Nike Air Trainers or a pair of soft contact lenses? Mace.
I'll say I wore contact lenses. I'll say it was the shoe.
All right, Jorge?
No, the contact lenses.
All right, John?
The shoe or the contact lenses? Wow. I'm going to say the shoe.
Well, you are wrong, and Jorge gets on
board.
Yes.
Oh, Jorge.
Soft contact lenses in 1988 were about $99, and Nike Air Trainers cost you about $75.
Okay.
All right, so Jorge has won, and that is it so far. Number three, we've got a cassette tape or a ticket to the movies. Jorge, what do you think? Which costs more?
The Walkman.
It's a cassette tape.
Oh, cassette tape.
Just a cassette tape.
It's a cassette tape. Just the tape that you put in the Walkman.
Yeah, I'll go with the cassette. Let's go.
All right. And what about you, John?
So the actual tape itself.
Yeah. Like if you wanted to buy Eddie Murphy's tape.
Eddie Murphy's tape.
Yeah.
I think George is right. I think that I think a cassette tape costs more than a movie. Cassette tape, I'm going with.
Okay. Mace?
I am going to be the lone movie guy.
Well, you're going to wish that you weren't, because Jorge and John are right. A cassette tape will set you back about $8, whereas a movie ticket was around $4.
Okay.
All right, $4, so Jorge, wow.
Yeah. Jorge has two, John has one, Mace has none. And we've got number four here. A share of Apple stock or a first class stamp? John, which costs more?
I will say... Oh, that's tough.
88.
It's funny.
I'm going to guess barely a share of Apple stock. Barely.
Okay, Mace.
20 cents.
They are pretty 20, close.
18 cents. I'm going to say it has to be a share of Apple stock.
All right, Jorge?
No, I'm going with a stamp.
Jorge is right again.
Yes.
First class stamp in 1988 was 22 cents, and a share of Apple stock, get this, 10 cents.
You could have bought Apple at 10 cents.
10 cents. That's insane. Wow. All right, so Jorge has three, John has one, and Mace has zero. I've got one, two, three,
more?
Four more of these, and then a tiebreaker. So
okay.
We can,
I got to get with
it. I need to get going.
All right. Next one, number five, minimum wage per hour or internet access per hour? Mace, which one do you think costs more?
Internet access per hour.
All right, Jorge?
Yeah, internet access.
All right, yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to think of, was there internet in 1988?
Yeah,
yes,
there was.
And you had to buy it per hour because they didn't have, like, you know, now you pay whatever a month for it. You had to buy it per hour back then.
Or go to the cyber cafe or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I think that internet access costs more than the minimum wage.
All right, you guys all got that one.
All right.
It costs anywhere from $10 to $40 an hour for internet access.
Woo!
Jeez. In 1988, whereas minimum wage was $3.35 an hour.
And it was dial-up.
And it was dial-up, exactly.
I know.
If you would ask me what year the internet was invented, I would have said it was in the 90s. I would have
It was
wet.
In the early 80s. All right.
Al Gore invented the internet,
of course
by the way.
He did.
Three more of these. I'll get through them quickly.
And he invented pants.
Excellent.
Number six, a six-pack of wine coolers or an issue of Fortune magazine. Magazines were a big thing back then. Jorge, which costs more, Fortune magazine or a six-pack of wine coolers?
I'm going to go with the magazine.
All right, John?
I'll say the wine coolers.
Okay, Mace?
My only chance is go wine coolers.
Well, you are incorrect.
Ah, Jorge.
Issue of Fortune magazine was $3.50, six-pack of wine coolers, $3.
Jorge All may right. have locked this up.
I think he did. Jorge's got five. John has two, and Mace has one. And I've only got three left, so...
Oh, I could get them all. I got to get them all to get to
the
top.
Yeah, you could get them all. Okay. All right, number seven here. 1 year of tuition at a public university or a cell phone? John, which costs more?
So wait, does it matter which university?
It's on average a public university like Ohio State or Cal State, any public university on average for 1 year of tuition.
I'll say, and it was those brick cell phones. I'll say it's the phone.
All right.
Wait, George, you should go first because I have to catch
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Let's have George go.
Yeah, first. I was going to say the phone as well. So
okay.
Phone.
Well, and then John, I got to go the other way. Then I'll do the.
Mace, you want to guess for fun?
I'll guess for fun. I will say it is the phone.
You are wrong, and John is correct.
Oh, I'm not
the
dead
other
yet.
Way.
I'm not dead yet.
About right, $3,000 for a year of public tuition, public university tuition, $2,500 for a cell phone. Number
wow.
eight.
All right.
God, I suck.
Need to get this one.
I need to get both.
A Nintendo or a color printer? Jorge.
Mm.
Nintendo or color printer? Which one costs more?
The Nintendo.
All right. John?
Oh, man. So the only thing I can do is go color printer. But I think George is right. I think it's going to be the Nintendo. I'll go color printer, though. It's my only chance.
I will go Nintendo.
John, you got that one?
Oh,
wow.
No.
Listen to the difference. A Nintendo was averaged $129, whereas a color printer was $900 in 1988.
Wow.
Keep guessing wrong, Jorge. It's my only chance.
All right. Last one here. John, you have to get this to stay alive or to win.
Yep.
So in that case, I'm going to give you this question first.
What?
The cost of
a
driver's license or a ski lift ticket, which cost more in 1988?
I don't think driver's licenses cost a lot of money.
I feel like they're expensive now.
Right. I don't even remember what it would. But I don't think a ski lift ticket costs a lot of money either. So I'll go. It's a trick question. I'll go driver's license.
Okay, Mace.
I will pointlessly go ski lift ticket.
Okay, Jorge.
I'm going to say driver's license.
Well, wait a minute. Then I have no
chance. Well, then you guys can be tied. Yeah, you guys can be tied.
No, I'm one down.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well,
I'll go, then let me change. Let me change to ski lift ticket.
No. I let you guess first. It doesn't matter because you're both wrong. Which means Jorge wins.
Yeah.
All right.
Jorge.
My only chance was to go the other way.
That's stirring win for Jorge.
So was it the price difference?
$22 for a ski lift ticket, $19 for a driver's license.
Okay.
That seems really high for a ski lift ticket.
I mean, that's temporary,
high
right?
For a driver's license.
So I will do the game tomorrow. The current score for October, because I can't win, is Ireland 9, Jorge 6, me 5,
so,
and Lindsay 4.
I could pull a complete El Foldo if Jorge runs the table. If he wins tomorrow and Friday, he beats me 10-9.
Wow.
Let's go, Jorge.
Let's do it.
Get your dad to record something.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Come on, Crenshaw. All right. Coming up next for you, we're going to do some crosstalk. George and LZ are going to be in here. It is celebration day as the Dodgers won their first World Series championship since 1988 last night at Arlington. I got to be there for it. It was a thrill. It is a great day of fun and celebration. It's a party.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Puta Yeska! Oh, former Dodger expert Greg Bergman. I will say, Greg Bergman texting me last night, texting me today, is thrilled with this Dodger win. He's a very big Dodger fan.
Wait.
Not an expert.
But what I would say about that is this, is that him relinquishing those duties, you know, allowed him to say, you're listening to KSB in Los Angeles.
Wow!
But Bergman, here's the thing. He stopped tweeting.
Did he quit completely?
He just went cold turkey.
He said he couldn't take it. Yeah. He sent out a tweet saying, it's too stressful, I can't do. You know, there are two people that did that during the series.
Who else?
Greg Bergman.
Yep.
And Ross Porter. Ross was tweeting and analyzing every game. He goes, I can't do it anymore, I'm out. And so did Greg. They both had the same reaction.
Wow. It is stressful. It was stressful last night. It was a tight game. George, the big moment, of course, was Blake Snell exiting the game. What did you think?
Look, here's the thing. I hate that this becomes some sort of indictment on analytics. Like, that drives me crazy. Because, look, I do believe that information, and that's really all it is, right? Analytics is just a fancy way to describe information.
Yes.
Is obviously very useful. And Kevin Cash has seen Blake Snell more than all of us, okay? Now, I would not have taken him out. I wouldn't have taken him out. And I'm going to say that on the front end because he was mowing him down. And I know he allowed a runner to get on first. I would have at least let him pitch to one more guy and then seen what happened. But I get Kevin Cash. He's got a 12 ERA after the sixth inning. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I get it, but sometimes you have to use the numbers
throw
in
the
context.
Book out.
Yeah. No, use the numbers in context. See what else. Yeah. He is stifling the Dodgers in that situation. They looked relieved, jubilant even, when he left the game.
And he goes to Nick Anderson and immediately Mookie Betts doubles, which keys the entire inning.
Which, by the way, Nick Anderson, terrible in the postseason.
Terrible.
A 5 ERA.
I think he gave up a run in 7 straight appearances.
Yeah.
At least one run in 7 straight appearances, and that's who Kevin Cash went to.
So it's not so much just the taking out of Blake Snell, who was fantastic, right? It was going to Anderson in that situation when, yes, he'd been great for you in the regular season, but he'd been – garbage in the postseason for
you. But I want to circle back to something you said in the beginning. It really is just information, analytics information, but this happens in the NBA a lot too. A guy will come down and hit 5 or 6 straight shots, and the other team will call timeout to stop the run, and then you'll look up, and the guy who hit the 5 or 6 straight shots is out. And you'll ask the coach after the game, well, that's our regular rotation. We always take him out at that point. And it drives Michael crazy. Michael says, you don't get tired if you're hot. You just keep going and keep going on momentum. I don't think Blake Snell, George, you mentioned you wouldn't have done it, but I don't think they looked at Blake Snell. He against the top 3 hitters in the Dodger lineup, those guys were 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
he was destroying them. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's what your information can be your enemy. And in that case, it was.
Right. And that's why it has to be information in context. You know what I'm saying? Like, not every situation is going to be the exact same situation. Right. So you have to take every single individual moment on its own merit.
Although, you know, I'll say this, George, you know, these are the two most analytically driven organizations in baseball, and they both wound up in the World Series. That's not an accident.
No, of course.
But I will say this about analytics.
Yeah.
They can be really useful if you just look a little bit deeper. You know, you've got to take information. Like, I want the most information if I'm going to make a decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not want the most information you can possibly get? That's analytics. The way you use it is the key. And
correct.
Last night, I think the front office told Kevin Cash, you are not going to let him face Mookie Betts for the third time, no matter what. I think that was a front office decision and not a Kevin Cash decision. What do you think?
I mean, I agree with you. I also think that, and he has said otherwise, right? And what else is he going to say? Like, he's got to, you know, take up for the organization in that spot. He becomes the fall guy. You know what I mean? And that does stink for Kevin Cash, who has been a really good manager in his time in Tampa.
Yeah.
That this is now on him. And by the way, look, I think that, you know, Dave Roberts gets a reprieve because he was also a guy who was a bit of a punching bag in a lot of ways. But this is the unfortunate part of being a manager in Major League Baseball right now, is that it is the most thankless job in that particular sport.
George, Mason and I disagree about the Justin Turner thing after the game.
Okay.
Mace gives Turner a pass considering everything he meant to the team. I thought that the virus doesn't play favorites. If you test positive for the virus, you can't go out on the field. And I don't think Major League Baseball should have let him out on the field. Where do you come down on that?
I'm somewhere in between you two. So here's what I would say is that, John, if it were me, I would have had, you know, as much as it sucks, I would have stayed wherever I needed to stay, and that's it. But I can't tell Justin Turner, a grown-ass man, what to do. I also can't tell his teammates, who at least openly in front of microphones said they were happy to see him out there, including his manager. So I think because of that, I can side with Mace a little bit, but I side with you too. Like I take my own personal feelings and say I would not have done that, what he did.
So George,
but
if
I get
you were in
why
Justin
he
Turner's
did it.
Turner's position, you would not have gone out to the field.
I would not have gone out.
I would
not. Well, you know, Mace, I have a friend who's been on a ventilator for 3 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
had
no pre-existing conditions. He was in good health before. Like, this thing hits everybody different. So I have that also in me. You know what
but
I'm saying?
In this case, he was around all these guys.
Sure.
Every day.
I get it.
Have to be tested.
Right, but there were other people on the field besides teammates.
What I would add to that, to your point, John, is that the thought process, at least among scientists and medical experts, is that the more you're exposed to the virus means that the worse it could be for a particular individual. So if you're around someone for an extended period of time who has it and has it bad, then you too can get it bad. That's at least what the science says. Nonetheless, what I would say is this, is I'm not going to sit here and chastise Justin Turner, Dave Roberts, or these Dodger players because they took it upon themselves as adults to make an adult decision and say, we want him around. And if they wanted him around, then I'm good with it.
Hey, are you doing your show solo today?
No. LZ has got some technical issues, but Momo is also going to be with us too.
Cool.
So we've got me and Momo at least. LZ will be around.
What else you got today?
We've got Tim
Kirkjian.
What
else? It's a party. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's a big party. Tim Kirkjian is going to stop by because nothing says party like Tim Kirkjian.
Well, Tim Kirkjian was so irritated by that move last night. Very, very outspoken about that Blake Snell thing.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that with Timmy, who we love. And then Momo will be by. And, you know, Jerry Hairston Jr. was so good on your show that we also have him booked for our show.
See? Yeah. I've said the most entertaining man on television. Now he's the most entertaining man on radio.
Yeah.
He's
so, you know,
over.
Yeah, we didn't know you were going to have him on, but nonetheless, we have him on anyway. So that is what's going to happen.
All right, so the party continues right through George and LZ. A little bit later on, LAFC soccer coming up for you, so make sure you're here for that. But in the meantime, the Dodgers are world champions. It has happened, people. It's a party. You can call into George and whoever is on with George, LZ or Ramona or whoever is on there, because the party continues to roll
on. Hey, Mace,
on.
Before you wrap up, I want to mention that Buffalo Wild Wings, who sponsored Game of Games today, is our new sponsor for Game of Games. So it means more to me to win Game of Games tomorrow than it ever has before, because I'm hoping to get free Buffalo Wild Wings out of the deal. So tomorrow's Game of Games is more important pretty much than any Game of Games ever.
By the way, I also have breaking news. Do we have a breaking news sounder there?
Okay.
Is it possible? Bob Nightingale of USA Today is saying the the entire Dodgers team, with the exception of Justin Turner's wife and his wife, were allowed to travel back on the team plane to L.A. They all tested negative prior to leaving Dallas.
Okay, good, good. By the way, I should mention Game of Games is proudly presented by Buffalo Wild Wings and the all-new Champ Sauce. Got even more pro. We got two champions in town. Now they got the new Champ Sauce. It's rolling out right now just for you. L.A., the perfect combo of sweet and heat. Try it at Buffalo Wild Wings
sweet
or order from the Buffalo Wild Wings app today.
Is that a shot at Miami? Sweet and heat?
Sweet and heat, yes. Yes, it is. All right, so stick with George and LZ and Ramona
Momo.
Coming up next for you. And in the meantime, we're back tomorrow at 1, by the way. We're back tomorrow at 1. Jeff Passan's going to join us, Matthew Berry.
Wait a second,
Feds.
Jeff Passan? I thought he was banned from your show.
No, no, Jeff Passan, we've become very tight, very tight.
Mason, you crumble, man, like a cookie.
It is identical to what he did with you, George. He said he would never, ever speak to Passan again, and now Passan's on once a week.
Windhorse, the same thing. Mace, you have no spine.
I believe people can change. I think
you're spineless. You are a jellyfish.
All right.